Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go to our calls, I want to mention that I have in my hand at this very moment a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is stunning, and it is a tool by which we equip you. And remember that the Christian Research Institute is in the business of equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. And so we equip you in doctrine so that we become so familiar with the plumb line that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. We also equip you in the defense of the faith, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect and for discernment. If there was ever a time in human history that we as Christians need discernment skills, it is now. To discern between wheat and chaff, to discern between heat and light, is the issue of our day. Because there are so many counterfeits on the horizon, and we need to be able to identify them. The cover story of the current Christian Research Journal is an article that I wrote on the Osteenification of American Christianity and what it portends for the future. In fact, the article gives you a glimpse or an insight as to why I wrote the Osteenification of American Christianity. I note that virtually every morning I try to catch up on the news and sports while running on the treadmill. Often the running, well, mostly walking, is accompanied by the vigorous exercise of my remote. And recently I flipped into an interview involving Singaporean megapastor Joseph Prince. And the more I tuned in, the faster my heart rate. Disregard for the meaning and the context of Scripture was simply breathtaking. And it all led up to taking a shower and beginning work on a book now titled The Osteenification of American Christianity. I want to mention parenthetically that that book is available. You can get it as a download. You can get it in CD format. And of course, you can get it not only as isolated books, but in six packs so that you can give them to family members or friends. And the reason Osteenification is so significant is because Joel Osteen is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of American Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends. It's a message that beckons multitudes to the table of the master, not for the love of the master, but for what is on the master's table. In essence, he is the de facto high priest of a brand new concept of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. I'll leave it at that, but the cover story on the Osteenification of American Christianity, why I wrote that book, and why it's making a difference for time and for eternity. But that's not all. There are so many incredible articles in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, including the new Theistic Evolutionists, Biologos, and the Rush to Embrace Consensus Science. What are the dangers, and why should we not fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie? The Christian Research Journal, again, one of the ways in which We equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. You can subscribe today online at equip.org. Something more. Right now, when you become a member of the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you a year's subscription to the Christian Research Journal as my way of saying thank you for joining a team. Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Christian Research Journal, you can get your copy in both ways by simply going to the web, either joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team right there or subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000. And the letter CRI, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Dennis. He's listening in Canada, Alberta, Canada, on CHRB. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. We talked about 2 weeks ago. I'd called in. My basic question at that time was, what was the biblical reference for an old age earth? Your answer was that there wasn't any biblical one, but then you basically used what you called the book of nature, and specifically a specific supernova. Your answer, I didn't get a chance to respond at that time, but your answer disappointed me. I was, in effect, I guess, concluding that you were making the book of nature the 67th book of the Bible and using it as a filter to screen all biblical interpretation.
Well, let me stop you right there for just a second. Sure. What I'm simply doing is doing what the Bible does. The Bible speaks about the book of nature or general revelation. And you can find that in both testaments, as I'm sure you are well aware, both in Psalm 19. You can also find it in Romans chapter 1. But in essence, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. So there's a different purpose for general revelation than there is for special revelation, but general revelation is something that is highlighted and underscored in great detail in both testaments.
Agreed. But that then comes to the skill of man in interpreting I think what you're calling general revelation, the book of nature. And over the centuries, the interpretation of the data has changed constantly. Now, specific to your answer on the using that supernova to date the Earth as being billions of years old because of the time it takes to get there, I'd like to give you three possible answers as to why that light didn't take billions of years to get here, and then discuss your response.
But before you get to that, I also want to comment on your last comment. I mean, I think it's really important for all of us to recognize that the Bible must be read as literature. It's inspired, infallible, but literature nonetheless. And therefore, when the Bible uses particular kinds of language, and we start to create paradigms upon that language, we do so at our own peril. For example, many people for many years, including young earth creationists, used to point to the notion that Psalm 93 says the world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. And as a result of that, they argued for geocentrism. Today, there isn't a single young earth creationist that is credible that would hold to geocentrism. They've had to change their opinion based on clear general revelation. And so now the consensus within even the young earth creationist community is heliocentrism and not geocentrism. So it's so important that when you read a passage like the word is firmly established, it cannot be moved, and then go on to look at the context that the kingdom of the Lord, who is robed in majesty, which, by the way, is hardly a comment on his clothing, cannot be shaken by the pseudo-powers of the earth. You don't want to use this wrongly as a way to establish a young earth paradigm for the world, nor do you want to use other texts to try to speak to progressive creationism or even to some other kind of a concept with respect to the world. The point is, we need to read the scriptures in the sense in which they're intended, and when we don't do that, we fall into all kinds of traps and travesty. The same thing is true with science. We need to do good science, and we need to recognize that if it were not for the fact that we do not believe in capricious gods who do things in ways that don't make any sense, don't have any rhyme or reason, in which there's no consistency or constancy. I mean, some people even go as far as to argue that the speed of light has changed. When you go down those roads, then you can't even have science. Science came out of a worldview that said the Greeks were wrong. Yes, they codified the laws of logic, but they didn't understand that God works according to reasonable principles, and we can learn to think his thoughts after him. So we don't want to do special pleading because we want to do science well as people of scripture and people of science, recognizing that science arose out of the very Christian worldview that we embrace.
Oh, I do want to respond to what you said about reading the Bible, but first I would like to continue on the speed of light. There's three answers I'd like to give you on how that light got here earlier. The first answer...
But wait a minute. Before you even go there, why are you so bent on arguing for a young earth and doing the special pleading? I think the answer to that question is because you want to read the Bible in a wooden, literalistic fashion rather than recognizing that it is majestic. You want to settle for glass when the Bible is a diamond, when Genesis is a literary masterpiece. It of surpassing beauty, where Hebrew parallels and symmetry and metaphor don't obscure truth, but illumine truth that we might ordinarily miss. You look at, for example, the genealogies that people use to establish a young earth, and the moment you start reading the brilliance of Genesis, you realize that these genealogies are not given to us for sequential purposes, but rather for symmetry. That's why there's 10 before the flood and 10 after the flood. So I think the substantial problem here is that you begin with the presupposition that somehow or other you have to do special pleading so that you can get to a 5,000-year-old universe. And I don't think you need to do that.
I'm not doing that. Hear me out, Hank. Let me finish this, and I will respond with science as to the speed of light. Well, no, my second two responses will be science. The first one I don't agree with, but I'm going to throw it out anyway. I know you believe in the Big Bang, and Big Bangers have to believe that there was a period of time when light traveled faster than what we recognize as the speed of light.
Well, first of all, when you say, you know, I believe in the Big Bang, I have said
Big Bang. You say it.
No, if you've listened to me carefully on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, what I have said is that Big Bang cosmology is the current cosmology. It comports well with what we know about science. It comports well with a biblical worldview, because if there's a Big Bang, there's got to be a Big Banger. But what I have also said is it may be that at some future point in time, a different cosmology will override Big Bang cosmology.
In that case, I will apologize to you for misunderstanding and stating you were a big banger when apparently you're not. Let me go on to my next two on the speed of light. And these are scientific answers. Dr. Russell Humphreys has proposed and basically proven something called time dilation. And there are many other scientists that have backed this up in the labs and with theories. But basically, time dilation is stating that time travels at a different velocity in different gravitational parts. And this is much more so in a vacuum, which is certainly what is out there. So time in a vacuum is much different. Science has accepted...
You know what? You're going to have to leave it at that. You know what I will do, in all fairness to you, since you've called me a couple of times and I don't think you've got proper resolution on what you've brought forth. If you hang on, I can pick you up when we start the second segment. We'll deal with time dilation then.
In his book, God's Undertaker Has Science Buried Truth, eminent scientist and mathematician John Lennox notes, God is an alternative to science as an explanation. He is not to be understood merely as a God of the gaps. On the contrary, he is the ground of all explanation, scientific or otherwise. Yet, more than merely being the ground of all explanation, or even the ground of all being, for Christians, God is the King of creation. And it is that theme that is captured in an amazing collection of meditations set to film and cherished hymns that we would love for you to have. More than just something that will bless and inspire you and your loved ones, this King of Creation DVD would likely warm hearts of hardened atheists. To receive your copy of this soul-stirring production, simply call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support our work of equipping Christians to courageously defend life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Hank will be back after this.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. and this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Ostinification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Do you sometimes feel that in the fight for life and biblical truth, your fizz goes flat? Would you welcome an empowering touch from God that would put a gust of wind back in your sails? If so, you need King of Creation, a moving DVD that combines meditations with stunning photography accompanied by beloved hymns. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, visit equip.org and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I also want to mention Flight. It's one of the most exquisite DVDs that I've ever seen, also an Illustria Media production. And by the way, featuring Paul Nelson, young Earth creationist, one of the most brilliant minds that I've ever had the opportunity to engage or have on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A tremendous Christian who does what he does with gentleness and with respect. But the arguments that he makes in Flight are so incredibly sound and powerful that we have been putting this in the hands of people, and very thankful for the kinds of testimonies that we have been able to receive as a result of that. Right now, we're talking to another wonderful Christian gentleman. His name is Dennis. He's from Canada, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and we're talking about such things as time dilation, the hypothesis of a man named Russell Humphreys. I would mention, Dennis, a couple of things before you continue. You're very reasoned and reasonable response to what I'm saying, and I very much appreciate the way you dialogue. You know, years ago it was Setterfield. He was kind of the trump card in the young Earth creationist arsenal, and he's kind of fallen a little bit out of favor, and now a lot of people are on the bandwagon of Russell Humphreys' time dilation. But again, the point that I made earlier is the point that I hope that you at least consider, and that is, what is the reason for this special pleading? It's not because all of the science points in that direction, because quite frankly, Russell Humphreys is out there by himself, by and large. And a lot of people that buy into it, but it's not as though the mathematics in general all point in this direction. You get mathematics to tell you just about whatever you want it to tell you if you apply it in certain ways. The reason is because of the presupposition. The presupposition is that the Bible explains the how question. The Bible gives us information about exactly how old the universe is, and because we cannot contradict the Bible, we have to fit the science into that paradigm. And I don't think that's a right way of reading the scripture. And I hope if nothing else happens in the conversation, that at least you consider the genius of Genesis to be not to give us the intricacies of the how question, but answering principally the why question. And though those are not isolated domains, they're overlapping, interlocking domains, nonetheless, the principal purpose in Scripture is chirological, it's not chronological.
I hear what you're saying. I do disagree, though, with your interpretation of Genesis. Let me just, you say Dr. Humphreys is out in left field.
I didn't say he was out in left field. I said that he was, by and large, isolated from most of the scientific community, and that what is driving his particular view of time dilation is not all of the evidence, but rather the presupposition that we have to have a 5,000-year-old universe.
Okay, let me give you another one. Dr. Moshe Carmeli has done some other work that others have followed up on. Now, basically what Carmeli did is he took the equations that Dr. Hubble proposed, where Dr. Hubble did his work on the redshifting of the planets, and did some equations that did an extrapolation back to 13.4 billion years. That was where basically that dating came from. He used four dimensions in doing that. Dr. Carmeli has added a fifth dimension, that of velocity, and in doing so, the straight line that Dr. Hubble had became a curved line that came back to a vastly shortened work. Dr. Hartnett has further done this, and he's published many works that have established that this appears to be correct. Now, we may not agree on those as being there. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about your interpretation of Genesis. I think his name is Professor Barr. He's in England. He is an expert on Hebrew. He does not believe the Bible. However, being an expert in Hebrew, he has read it extensively, and he has made a statement that says no, and I'm attempting to quote this. I don't have it in front of me, but I'll quote it as best I can. No credible Hebrew scholar understands that the writer of Genesis intended to portray the creation of the earth in anything but 7 or 6 24-hour days. He said the Hebrew is clear on that. There is no other way you can interpret the Hebrew any other way. Now I'd like to make another comment. By the way,
I would substantially agree with that. That's not in conflict with what I have said, particularly what I have written when I wrote about the genius of Genesis. When you look at the genius of Genesis, the days are given as literal 24 hours. In other words, the first day, for example, is given as a literal 24-hour day that has morning and evening. And that is even in light of the fact that the luminaries did not come into existence until the fourth day. And you also have to recognize, if you are an expert on Hebrew, as the person that you just mentioned is, he probably understands the Hebrew symmetries and parallelisms. In other words, in day 1 and day 4, you have light and luminaries. In day 2, you have sky and sea. In day 5, sky and sea creatures. In day 3, you have land. In day 6, you have land creatures, man and animals, and so forth. So there is a very sophisticated genius in the writing of Genesis. But the days of creation, though they are 24-hour days, they are not given to us to so that we might be able to establish a chronology of creation, but rather it is a way through which the history of creation is remembered and recalled through its association with the continuous 7-day cycle of life.
Now what you're quoting, I believe, would be called the framework hypothesis.
I'm not quoting any hypothesis. What I'm simply trying to do is give you a glimpse of the diamond. In other words, Genesis is a literary masterpiece of surpassing significance, brilliance, and importance. And it is written in such a way that we will not forget. We will not forget each day of the week during the continuous cycle of everyday life. We will not forget God's creative prowess. It is given us so that we can remember its 10 themes with our 10 fingers, as I'm sure that you have probably ascertained. It is given us such a way that we can remember the highlights of genealogy, not the sequence, but the symmetry. It is given to us in such a way that it will penetrate our minds and we will never forget it, so that it can be written on our doorposts and our gates and even more on the canvas of our consciousness. That's the beauty. But we want to take Genesis and take the diamond and turn it into broken glass. And I think we need to be careful that we do not undervalue the brilliance of Almighty God, nor stay with a childish view of creation or a childish view of God. We have to grow up and recognize the immensity of God and recognize the purposes of God as given to us in His Word. And let me say, in terms of special pleading, a major contention of young earth creationists is that radiometric dating, or measuring radioactive decay, is not reliable because the rate of nuclear decay was greater in the past than it is in the present. This is a very similar argument to the argument that you're proposing right now. This contention, however, creates more problems than it solves. Again, it's based on a presupposition, it's unnecessary, but it creates all kinds of systemic problems. The nuclear radiation rate necessary to make sense of a 5,000-year-old universe would have been lethal to plant, animal, and human life. And not only that, but physicists have not simply presumed decay rates to be consistent, they have made a concerted effort to disprove radiometric dating by subjecting radioactive atoms to extreme temperatures, to extreme pressures, to a variety of electromagnetic variations. And to date, no change in the rate of decay of any geologically significant radioactive isotope has been discovered. And not only that, here's the other point. I think I made this in our last conversation, although it's somewhat vague in my mind. The age of the Earth is determined through radiometric dating processes corresponds to age parameters projected by astronomical measurements like star life, which also demonstrates the age of the Earth to be hundreds of times older than the presumed age that is given to us by young Earth creationists. But here is the bottom line. Present projections regarding the age of the Earth are wholly insufficient for the evolution of even the most basic of all protein molecules. So present age projections undermine the evolutionary hypothesis. But present age projections do not undermine the scripture rightly interpreted. And I think that's the point. I think you have a presupposition based on this atheist or this agnostic or this unbeliever's belief in Hebrew or his particular prowess in Hebrew, and as a result of that, you've kind of swallowed that and said, this particular atheistic Hebrew expert says that the days are sequential, and they're a way by which we can project a timeline in creation, and then he says that timeline doesn't make any sense, but that's definitely what the Bible says. But he's simply wrong. And there are many Hebrew scholars that would argue with him, just as there are many scientific experts in the Christian community that would argue with Russell Humphreys. But all of that said, this is an issue that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately do not have to divide over. The biggest issue is that we have to learn to read the diamond for all it's worth. We have to mine the Bible for all its wealth. And if we fail to understand that principle in the book of Genesis, we're going to fail to understand how we read the Sermon on the Mount. And then we're going to be like Obama, saying that the Sermon on the Mount is so dramatic and so extreme that no one could live by its precepts, simply because he fails to know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Same thing that we have on the other end of the scale when we get to the book of Revelation. Pretty soon we're going to try to pin the tail on the Antichrist. It leads to all kinds of problems. So again, we take the diamond, and instead of diamond, we turn it into nothing but broken glass. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
I am blessed. I am prosperous. My God is a supersizing God. These self-affirmations from Houston preacher Joel Osteen are leading millions of people across America and around the world astray. And Hank Hanegraaff has written a book to combat this new brand of Christianity that you need to get today. It's called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call to request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
If you feel that continuously standing for truth occasionally takes its toll on your spiritual batteries, welcome aboard. You're not alone. For a wonderful battery charger for you and your loved ones, you need to watch King of Creation, a stunning visual celebration of God's handiwork in the world around us. To receive your copy as our thank you for your gift, visit equip.org to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the last call just reminds me so much of how we need to fall in love with the Bible all over again, with its majesty, even from a literary standpoint, recognizing that even the metaphors in Scripture are not designed to obscure truth, but rather to illumine truth that we would ordinarily miss. In other words, they have sharp teeth. So that we might recognize that the Bible is as hard as a diamond, as brilliant and as costly and valuable. Again, as I mentioned, the quote in the first and second segment, having no concept of diamonds, we so often settle instead for glass. We don't recognize that the Bible is a diamond and not crushed glass. Go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk next to Jason in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I want to I want to let you know I appreciate what God's doing through you.
Thank you.
I love your ministry, and I agree with a lot of your answers. I like the way you answer. You answer them with wisdom.
Appreciate it.
Basically, my question is concerning basically the third Elijah figure to come, which would actually be the, I guess, the foundation of the not the foundation, as Christ is the foundation, but it would bring on the second Pentecost, if you will, like the first and the latter rain. And my question surrounds what has to do with the verses in the Bible, like Matthew chapter 17, verses 10 through 13, where I guess the disciples asked Jesus Christ if the prophet Elijah would first come, because the scribes say that he was supposed to. And if that is, when he says that he shall truly first come, but of course he already came, John the Baptist being that first figure, the spirit of power of Elijah, but that Elijah must first truly come and restore all things. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 through 13, the word restore is used concerning Israel. I believe it's verse 6, the physical tribes of Jacob, and also how he would be a light to the Gentiles. And also, I guess I'm kind of asking a bunch of questions in one, because I don't know if we have a lot of time or not. And I'm trying to find a way.
Well, getting to the bottom line would really help what the question really is.
Okay. The prophecy in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6.
Yes.
Who are the fathers and the children? And is that when God says he's going to send Elijah the prophet, does that prophecy have a dual meaning? Would you agree that it has a dual meaning?
No, I don't think so. In Matthew 17, Jesus is speaking about John the Baptist, but in Malachi, where we read, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Remember, Malachi is directing his message, and this gets to the whole issue of context. He is directing his message of judgment to a people plagued with corrupt priests, with wicked practices, with really a false sense of security in their privileged relationship with Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, using a question and answer method, Malachi is probing deeply into their problems of doubt, the reason they are withholding their tithes and offerings. He's talking about their hypocrisy, their infidelity, their mixed marriages, their divorce, their false worship, even their arrogance. The nation has become so sinful that Yahweh's words to the people no longer have any impact. And for 400 years after this ringing condemnation, God remains silent. And it is only with the coming of Elijah, which, by the way, is also prophesied in Malachi 3:1, that God again communicates to his people through a prophet's voice. The Elijah prophesied by Malachi, however, was not a literal reincarnation or reappearance of Elijah in the far future, but it is the fulfillment of the coming of John the Baptist, precisely as Jesus spoke about when he alluded to this in Matthew chapter 17. And Jesus explains that Elijah was a type of John the Baptist. That is, Elijah, by performing powerful signs and wonders and by preaching repentance, not to mention the striking physical resemblance, establishes a pattern of prophetic prowess exemplified by John the Baptist at the climax of human history. What is that climax of human history? It is the inauguration of the kingdom. So he's the way shower for Jesus Christ. And now we, not a third Elijah, not a third John the Baptist, but we, the people of God, are involved in the consummation of the kingdom. That's why we do what we do at the Christian Research Institute in equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. So sometimes there's a type and an antitype, and the antitype itself is a type for another antitype. That is not the case in this particular situation with Malachi. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jeff in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. Hank, have you got daughters in further education, college or university?
Yes, I have seven daughters and five sons, and I have had quite a few of them in university, and right now I have daughters in university, plural, yes.
Okay, why are we educating our women when we need them at home with our children?
I don't even know how to respond to that. I mean, I think it's critical that women exercise the gifts that they have been given, and if they do not exercise the gifts that they have been given, then they are in sin. Think if Henrietta Swan Leavitt, of astronomy fame, had not been educated so that she could use her gifts, or the Christian Clara Swain in the area of medicine. Women are to develop and exercise and use their gifts. My wife went to university. She went through high school and university in 4 years. So she went through 8 years of school in only 4 years and never even had an A-. It was her education for naught. She's raised a lot of kids, and she would be the classic prototype. Well, her education has helped dramatically in the development of our family, in the raising of our kids, in all kinds of areas that I would have been clueless in. She's been able to step in and be not only my counterpart, but without her, I couldn't have kept it all together. If two of us are identical, one of us is unnecessary. So, I mean, her talents, her education have gone a long ways towards raising the kids that I'm very proud of.
How was Eve able to raise so many children without a further education?
Well, she had tremendous education. First of all, if you take the evolutionary paradigm, we've progressed since then. I would not buy into that paradigm. I think that Eve was the most brilliant of women. I think that we, as human beings today in the 21st century, can do what Eve could not do, not because we're smarter, but because we have an accumulation of knowledge. But she walked in the cool of the day with God and was tutored by the one who spoke and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence. So far from being uneducated, she was very educated. And there are all kinds of infidels today that suggest that John and Peter were unlettered and thus uneducated, forgetting that they sat at the feet of the Master for 3 years, and you can't get a better education than to have the one who is before all things and in whom all things hold together. So the idea that Eve was uneducated or that John and Peter were uneducated, I think, is an uneducated assumption.
My point here is we were put here to procreate. Now we have so many women going on.
We were not just put here to procreate. Certainly procreation is a big part of the process, and it takes a man and a woman to procreate. But we are also here to fulfill the Great Commission. We're also here to fulfill the cultural mandate. And to the extent that we do not do that, regardless what gender we are abdicating the responsibilities that God has given us. I'm thinking about another brilliant woman, Melanie Cogdell, who's the managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. Her education has allowed her to raise not only exemplary children, but allowed her to contribute mightily to what I think is the most significant apologetics organization in the world. That's why I'm here. Here's a woman that's been educated, and that has not only had a dramatic impact on her own family, but has had a tremendous impact on this ministry and had a tremendous impact in her being able to equip women around the world. So, the education process is important, and you can't use gender as the cop-out, saying, well, I'm a woman and therefore I don't have to engage in these things. I'm just here to procreate. That's just nonsense.
I think you're being politically correct here. You're talking
no, I'm not being politically correct here. I'm being biblically correct here.
Not police getting hold of his mind.
What?
Look at
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. I was speaking when I should have been listening. What did you say?
I apologize. I cut you off. But you're talking about Barack Obama and the politically correct thought police getting a hold of his mind. Let's be honest. You talk about the Great War Generation, Hank. That Great War Generation of people, mothers were at home with their children. They weren't out chasing careers. Can we agree on that?
Well, but now you're bringing up a completely different issue. You were talking about whether or not, and by the way, we can talk about that issue and we could have a lively discussion there, but you are changing issues. Your question was about whether or not a woman should go to college and be educated. And the question then becomes, if a woman is educated somehow or other, that undermines the value she has in raising her children. I don't think it undermines it; it enhances that.
We don't need further education, Hank, to raise our children.
Well, sure you do. I mean, my children have learned a tremendous amount by sitting at the feet of a woman who not only knows a great deal about nurture, but also knows a great deal about giving them input for living life. It's not only in the area of doctrine, but also in the area of life, and that has come through education, and not only by going to university, but continued education in the cauldron of life. Jeff, I'm going to have to leave the discussion. I appreciate your call today, and I don't think that anybody has to worry that the politically correct thought police got a hold of my mind and warped it in the last 24 hours because my wife has an education and is educating my kids, and my kids are in university. They all love the example of my wife, and they all love kids, but they also want to use the gifts and talents that God has given them for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the show. Stay tuned for that.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.